This podcast is shared for the purposes of information only. The discussion does not reflect a direct or implied endorsement by Municipal World or its members.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in. For Municipal World, I'm Scott Fokey. This is the MW Shares podcast, where we share the stories of communities from coast to coast to coast. These are the stories of local government, celebrations of success, the sharing of lessons learned, the cautionary tales, and the keen insights into what lies ahead for municipalities. Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of MW Shares. Today I'm being joined by the Director of LAS and One Investment, Judy Dizell. Judy is an intergovernmental relations expert with experience working with federal, provincial, and municipal governments. She's been very successful developing programs and services that add value to Ontario's municipal governments. Judy and I are going to be talking about One Investment and how it provides investment options that support the needs of municipalities. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you, Scott. It's great to be here today.
Well, thanks for being here. And, you know, there's a lot of acronyms here, so help us make sense of the alphabet soup. Can you explain what AMO, LES, and One are and what the relationship between them is?
Absolutely. So AMO, or the Association of Municipalities of Ontario, is an organization that brings municipalities together from across Ontario to achieve some shared policy objectives, as well as address some common challenges that municipalities face. So it's an advocacy organization, and it works to make municipal governments stronger. LAS, or Local Authority Services, was actually created by AMO in the 1990s, and it's its business services arm. And its purpose is basically group buying. So what LAS does is we help build programs that helps municipalities work in terms of offering services to to their citizens. And we do this through a number of things. We have group buying, known as Canoe. But we also do things that offer turnkey solutions to municipalities. And one of those areas that we are always trying to help municipalities with, which is the last one, is investments. It was a program that LAS and the municipal finance officers had offered for a number of years. But with recent changes in the Municipal Act, we saw an opportunity to actually create it as a not-for-profit and up our game, basically, in terms of investments, opportunities for municipalities. So that's how they're all related in terms of the organizations.
Great. So getting into the One Investments, what products are available to municipalities?
Investments are a very highly regulated opportunity for municipalities in Ontario. So it's limited in terms of what you can do if you're on what we call the legal list. So the province has identified specific products that municipalities can invest in. And specifically on the legal list, only equities through One Investment. So this is the only way that municipalities can actually access equity funds. But there is also another opportunity through what we call the Prudent Investor Fund. And as I just mentioned, there was recent changes to the Municipal Act in 2018 that allowed a prudent investor to be an opportunity for municipalities. And this actually is a really great example of how AMO, LAS, and One work together, because AMO does the advocacy work in terms of allowing municipalities to get to prudent investors. So that was a heavy lifting that they did. And then, of course, we saw the opportunity in terms of helping municipalities by creating this prudent investor program. Because one of the things that what the province had done in terms of prudent investor is they have established a specific criteria that municipalities have to meet. One of them being that you had to have $100 million in money you did not require immediately to invest. Of course, most municipalities in Ontario don't have $100 million available. So by coming together through a joint investment board, we were able to remove that barrier for all municipalities in Ontario. So anyone who wants to move to Prudent Investor can do so now through that program. And it offers equities as well as bonds, both on the Canadian stage as well as internationally. So it's upping our game significantly. But the really big piece that I'm most proud of in terms of One Investment, frankly, is our investment advisory team. So as I mentioned, we created One Investment as a not-for-profit And part of the reason we did that is because we wanted to provide investment advice to municipalities, because most don't have investment experts on staff. They have municipal finance staff that are brilliant at doing budgeting and asset management, but very few have investment experts on staff. And so we wanted to fill that gap. But the only way you can fill that gap is by either being licensed by the Ontario Securities Commission or receiving an exemption from the Ontario Securities Commission. And so the OSC basically said to us, we can't give an exemption to a program. And that's why we created One Investment as a not-for-profit, so that we could get that exemption, put the investment advisory team in place, and give advice to municipalities. So that's really the big piece. And again, a turnkey service, which is very much, as you will know, a key piece of what LAS does in terms of programs. So it's very common for us to do it that way. And it's been very, very successful.
Yeah, I've seen the growth over the years. So it seems that, you know, like a lot of your programs, it's about capacity building, and there's certain economies of scale. You mentioned the $100 million threshold, for example. So are you finding that the municipalities are coming on? Is the program continuing to grow?
Yeah, so we're seeing growth in both the legal list and also the prudent investor program. And part of the reason we're seeing that is municipalities have been on a journey in terms of municipal asset management for almost 20 years now. It started out with changes in terms of accounting, and now, you know, we have a regulation in Ontario that specifies what needs to happen in terms of asset management. But one of the side effects of that is municipalities are becoming more and more comfortable with knowing when, in fact, they're going to need their money, which in fact puts them in a spot where they can invest it so that they have more money available in the future to deal with that infrastructure when, in fact, they need to invest in it. So that's actually one of the legacies, I guess, of asset management, is that we're seeing more and more confidence by municipalities in putting their money in investments so that they can invest for infrastructure.
Capital reserves are almost part of the assets, and the asset management that works with the investment strategy. Interesting. So, Judy, you mentioned, you know, Ontario and municipalities a lot in terms of who can invest. Can anyone else invest in one? Is it open to municipalities outside of Ontario?
Unfortunately, as I mentioned, municipal acts across the country specify how municipalities can invest. So there is no cross-jurisdictional opportunity to do investments. Having said that, within Ontario, we do have a high interest savings account as well. And we do have non-municipal entities involved in that, that, you know, are taking advantage of the opportunities that we bring forward through that. And that's just another example, honestly, of aggregation.
Yeah. So they use that because it's a bit a higher rate of interest than what they could get by simply going to their local bank. Is that the thinking there?
Yeah. So in the municipal sector, some municipalities use their banks for debt, right? And the best way, honestly, to get a good interest rate on a savings account for institutional investors is to have debt with the same bank, because they, you know, they're not actually losing money in the end of the day. So there's some municipalities, particularly the large ones, that quite easily can get really good rates through their banks because of the debt levels that they're carrying also with that bank. But most municipalities can't do that. And so the whole point of us bringing together a high interest savings account is to leverage the aggregation of municipalities so that everyone can kind of get at least a reasonable rate. And, you know, in the last 5 years, interest rates have been very low. We're now in a rising interest rate environment. But definitely, this is something that, you know, municipalities can't necessarily do, especially the smaller ones on their own. So it's something that we worked with them on.
You know, I want to get back to the investment side for a second. And often these days, you know, you can't have a discussion about investments without responsible investment coming up. So how does the one board or the one advisors ensure that the funds are supporting ethical businesses and investments?
We take a very deliberate approach to hiring fund managers, first of all. So we do a very rigorous review of those fund managers. And then from there, we also take a look at whether or not they are a signatory to the United Nations Principles of Responsible Investing. It's one of the recognized standards in terms of investment. So your listeners may have heard a lot about ESG or environmental, social, and governance focus for finance and companies. Mm-hmm. And so that ESG is basically what the UN has articulated through their UNPRI, is how that can be achieved. So all of our fund managers have signed on to UNPRI. And so they are actively working on an ESG front in terms of making sure that, you know, the companies they're investing in are in fact ethical. And it's not just from an environmental perspective. A lot of folks tend to forget that there are other perspectives that need to be taken wholly in this. And that includes the social perspective. So is it a good business within the community it's operating, as well as governance? And that includes things like diversity and inclusion on their boards and things like that. So it's a broad range in terms of focus. And, you know, industry acknowledges that they have a lot of work to do on this. You know, we see it almost every day if you're a reader of the Globe and Mail's report on business pages, right? There's lots of work that needs to still be done on that. But nonetheless, you know, we're looking for companies that are actively working in that environment to work towards those ESG goals. So that's one thing that we do in terms of screening and hiring fund managers. But the other thing One Investment is doing, and this goes back again to capacity, is we are actually working on an ESG discussion document. So to help municipal staff have a conversation with municipal council about ESG principles and what it means in terms of their investing so that they can make informed choices when they decide to do investing. And I think, again, that's a really important piece for us that, you know, again, supports municipalities and helps them move forward in terms of their capacity on investing and make good decisions.
Interesting. Yeah. The great thing about the UNPRI is it kind of links the UN Sustainable Development Goals with ESG. And you know, it's a fairly comprehensive view. So I'm encouraged to hear that you guys are using that. And in terms of the other piece, you know, you've mentioned capacity building quite a bit. I know one of the other things you're active in is providing comprehensive training on the foundations of a municipal investment strategy. So can you walk us through that? Like what topics are included and who can benefit from that?
Yeah, so we have long had an investment basics course that walks municipal finance staff through the basics of investing, setting up an investment policy statement, which is the responsibility of a municipal council to do, through to making choices based on when you need your money, what kinds of securities to invest in. And that's particularly important for the legal list, because under the legal list, the municipal treasurer makes the decision about investments. So they are responsible for deciding whether or not they're going to put the money in bonds or they're going to put it in equities. So really what that course is trying to do is help them understand where to go so that they make good choices and make good recommendations to council through their investment policy statement. A little bit differently, though, through the Prudent Investor, one of the other requirements of the Municipal Act change was that a municipality must either create or join an investment board. An investment board is a skills-based board. And in the case of One Investment, we have over 300 years of investment industry experience on the board, as well as municipal finance experience. So it's a combination of skills within the board. But when a municipality signs on to a prudent investor standard with us, they are transferring those decisions in terms of where to invest to the joint investment board. So the council still sets the policy in terms of their risk tolerance and what they want investments in terms of investments. But ultimately, through the investment plan created by the Joint Investment Board, they decide where it goes and at what weights and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's a fundamental change. And part of the reason why a lot of treasurers are really excited about the prudent investor, because they're not investment experts. And so they can transfer that responsibility to the Joint Investment Board with confidence, knowing that they have lots of skill at that table to make those decisions.
So I imagine, you know, in transferring that, though, there must be a bit of a quid pro quo in terms of reporting back. You know, how often do you guys report back to the individual municipalities that are investing in the fund?
So we're relatively new, and we had 6 municipalities that took a risk and walked the journey with us in terms of creating the joint investment board. And we meet with them quarterly to talk about what's coming, how things are going, and look for input from them in terms of how to improve. So that's the regular discussion, right? Just to keep the relationship going. But in terms of investments themselves, we report quarterly to them in terms of how their investments are doing, both on the legal list as well as the prudent investor. And we do an annual report to them as well. So there's all kinds of opportunities and touch points to have conversations about how they're doing. And of course, that's where the investment advisory team steps in as well. We have some folks on the legal list still that touch the investment advisory team on a regular basis for advice. As I said, though, it's ultimately the treasurer that makes that decision. So, you know, they can either take it or leave it. But that team is available to help them make those decisions, which I think is really what was missing for a very long time for treasurers. And we're seeing a lot of uptake in terms of taking that advice on the legal list. And of course, that investment advisory team includes our chief investment officer, who is responsible for making advice to the joint investment board on the prudent investor side as well. So he's actively working on both sides in terms of helping municipalities make the best decisions.
Excellent. So, you know, I'm just thinking through as you're talking there that probably other municipalities across the country could benefit from a program like this. Are you getting contacted by your peers and other provincial municipal associations asking how to do this? Is there any interest that you're hearing from other places?
Not right now, but again, the pandemic has kind of sidelined us on a lot of fronts, right? So I think one of the things that we are going to really start doing is really promoting what we're doing, and I'm sure that'll garner some attention. Now, there are some provinces that do allow their municipalities to invest prudently. One is Alberta. Alberta lets their larger municipalities like Calgary and Edmonton do this, whereas Nova Scotia does have that provision as well within their municipal act for municipalities in Nova Scotia. But outside of that, not really. You know, it's different in every province. You know, BC has a different approach than Saskatchewan, right? So, but we are going to try and start talking a lot more about what it is that we're doing and how potentially it could benefit municipalities across the country. Because everyone has assets that need to be managed in the future. And, you know, the fewer dollars that you take from taxpayers, the better. And investment returns is an opportunity to do that.
And in an environment where scale is so important, it makes a lot of sense. So switching gears completely from municipal investments, and this is the last question I ask everybody who shows up on this program is, what's the best book that you've read recently?
So I'm gearing up for summer holidays and have had a very busy spring and really didn't get a chance to read very much. But in getting ready for summer holidays, I picked up a book called Let Me Be Frank, and I actually have it sitting here right beside me, so I make sure I get the author's name right, by Tracy Dawson. She's a comic writer, Canadian comic writer, who through an experience that she had down in Los Angeles, thought, you know, I've got to start thinking about what women have done through history when they were told, no, you can't do that because it's a man's role. And so this is the book about different women who have disguised themselves as men throughout history to achieve whatever it is that they wanted to achieve. So I've started into it a little bit this past weekend. I got a little ahead of myself in terms of summer vacation, but I had a few minutes. And it's a very interesting read. Now, not all of the women in here, you know, are, you know, brilliant heroines or anything like that. Some of them are criminals, but nonetheless, interesting in terms of, you know, thinking in this whole environment of diversity and inclusion that, in fact, throughout history, women in particular have had to, you know, face some struggles if they wanted to do more than what their traditional role was. So I'm hoping it's a bit of an entertaining read.
Judy, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Facilitation can be a powerful tool to help build community and address pressing and relevant issues. Better Decisions Together is a practical facilitation guide, examining the need for citizen engagement and explaining how conflict may be harnessed as a positive force for change. You can order it now in our shop at municipalworld.com. And thanks to all of you for listening. On behalf of Municipal World, I wish you peace and purpose.
We'd like to hear your ideas. If you have a topic that you would like to see covered in a future episode, simply drop us an email at stories@municipalworld.com. Also, don't forget to share and subscribe.